This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. This interview is one in a series CIFA Radio 88.7 FM is conducting ahead of the federal 2025 election occurring April 28th. Our aim is to make a reasonable effort to showcase each candidate running in the Prince George Cariboo riding and the Prince George Peace River Northern Rockies riding, which both intersect our community of Prince George Claylie-Tenay. The intention of the series is to give each candidate an opportunity to share their goals and objectives for their respective ridings and give the audience a sense of who these people are. The following has been edited for clarity and brevity. Jake Weens, the candidate for the Christian Heritage Party, running in the Cariboo Prince George District, joined us in CIFA Radio Studios for a conversation for about an hour. Much of it became a debate about gender and Indigenous issues, where eventually we amicably agreed to disagree and potentially return to the topic at a later date. For details, visit the Christian Heritage Party's platform online, linked in this story's associated article. For now, we'll move into the more substantial parts of the interview. You are based in Prince George, BC?
I live in Prince George, yeah. I thank you for allowing me to come.
Absolutely. Before I get into a little bit of your background, what I'm asking everybody in this series is, in the left to right political spectrum, where do you feel you fit and where do you feel your party fits?
Okay, well, the people around us, they would obviously put us in the right. Maybe many would even say extreme right. But I believe we are far more centrists than they see us, because what the message we're trying to bring is relevant for our age that we live in.
And for some background, I'm aware that you taught for quite a while in primary education. You taught here in Prince George at Cedars
Christian School, yeah.
Christian school, private school. What else did you get up to? What's your resume look like?
So I did teach in Williams Lake, in elementary school, in the public system, okay? And then we took a little bit of a break, you know, a young family. We went to Germany for an adventure. We were there for 5 years, working in a church-like setting, trying to communicate the gospel to the people over there. A very interesting 5 years, very interesting, an interesting chapter of our lives. Okay, and when we came back, since then I've been teaching at Cedars Christian School for 21, 22 years, okay? I retired about 10 years ago, and the first thing I did was build my own house, our retirement home, designed it for someone that's in our stage of life. So that took me 4 or 5 years, and during that same time, I wrote a book. So I kept busy, summer, winter. The book was simply answering the big question that should concern all those that call themselves Christians. The big question is, why are we losing so many of our young people to the faith? Statistics show about 70% of our young people, after their K-12 Christian school experience, after our church youth group experiences, they walk away from faith. So the big question is, why are they leaving? What aren't we giving them at school in our youth groups? My book explores that question. I believe I've come up with one answer for that, that I believe is a very important message that the church needs to hear and that our young people need to hear.
With a lot of experience in primary education, I felt Mr. Weens would have an interesting perspective based on his experience in primary education, which is under the purview of the provincial government, not the federal government, while post-secondary has a stronger relationship with the federal level of government. Do you feel the federal government should play a bigger role in helping to fund that, perhaps reduce tuition fees by funding post-secondary institutions more, perhaps student loan forgiveness on some scale, make it more accessible, or good as it is, or even reduce funding?
That's a very good question. You know, I know when I went to university, you know, I've spent 7, 8 years in university myself. You know, I came out with zero debt, you know, and most of the time, you know.
Not easy to do. Yeah.
You can't do that anymore, and you should be able to do it. You know, I was very responsible with my money. I lived as cheaply as I could. I did have my own vehicle, so I could travel back and forth to Kelowna, where I lived at the time. And given the fact that nowadays, huge debts, so obviously there's something amiss. They should be able to go through school, you know, sure, having small part-time jobs, which I regularly did. You know, I was frugal with my money, and I managed with a few loans, which I paid off very quickly. You know, much of it was grant as well. I think students should be encouraged, first of all, to manage their money better. Absolutely. I think there's a need there. I taught money management in the high school at Cedars Christian School a little bit, helping kids manage their money. That needs to be done. But having said that, students should not have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. I think there should be some help. But again, an unbiased for every department, not just for those that the government favors.
A general increase to everything.
General help for that, right?
To summarize part of the further conversation, candidate Jake Weens felt that universities and the federal government had a tendency to provide and fund subject matter that was more politically left-leaning than right-leaning, and that a balance should be struck between these two, with equal funding provided to both. Climate change was brought up as a topic of research. In your view, climate change itself, is that like a political, say, left-right issue? Is that something? I do feel that it has been politicized. Can something like that really be weighted on that left-right scale? Or is it something that's simply bigger and outside of that? Can it really be perceived in such a way?
I think it is being perceived that way. There is definitely a pro side, and it's not man-made climate change. And the pro, yes, man-made climate change, and we've got to do everything we can to get rid of it, 15-minute cities and all that kind of stuff. And the other side is being suppressed. You've got to have research in both sides, and there needs to be open discussion. I am absolutely convinced there is unbelievable bias in pursuing these topics, because I think our governments have a bigger agenda, creating fear. People that are susceptible to fear are better controlled. You know, I know this sounds very right-wing extreme. We just need to look around, you know, look at with COVID, lots of fear created. People that are afraid are more easily managed. You know, we need to fund both sides. You know, this idea of funding both sides of the argument is so important. With all the stuff that's happened in the last 7-8 years, you know, one side gets funded, the other side gets suppressed. That does not produce science, that produces propaganda.
We spoke about what the Christian Heritage Party offers the electorate that other parties do not. The party's website is the ideal place to explore this further, but a fundamental component was referencing the Ten Commandments to inform policy and decisions. Relating to this, I asked Mr. Weens if our current economic practices within a market capitalist system contributes to the dissociation of values that the party sees on a wide scale in society.
Absolutely. You know, we've developed very much a capitalism without a conscience, capitalism that is fueled by greed. We very much prefer a capitalism with a conscience, where it's not primarily about profits, but it's primarily about serving our fellow Canadians. Sure, profits are part of the game, but primarily it's providing a service that builds the country. Too much of capitalism nowadays, I would agree, is capitalism with capital greed.
Canadian sovereignty is on every major political federal party's agenda. In light of ongoing trade disputes with the United States of America, diversifying our trade partnerships, and looking at our domestic internal politics in regards of provincial trade and nation-to-nation negotiating with Indigenous governments. Within the Cariboo Prince George region,
yeah,
what do you think is the way forward for us to make this situation better?
But, you know, right off the top, you know, tariffs would really be difficult for our lumber industry, and a lot of our food comes from south, you know, so it would definitely complicate. And this whole picture, a few things are being forgotten. Right now, the focus is all on the immediate situation. And you never get a good perspective when you only look at a small slice of time. We need to realize that, you know, Canada has had a 150-year relationship with the States, trading relationship with them without problems. And we would have never become the Canada that we are now without that trading relationship. And the same thing in the future. We will never be able to maintain our sovereignty, our independence, without a healthy trading relationship with the States. Given those two realities, then the momentary crisis that we're in right now needs to be looked at differently. We need to deal with it in such a way that we do not exasperate the problem. You know, I think anyone that's got that's thinking about what's happening in the States realizes, hey, Trump was voted in by his people to fix his problems. You know, we might not agree with how Trump is trying to do it, but he is trying to solve their economic problems. And their house is even in more trouble than our Canadian house. He's trying to solve that problem. And we need to understand that, and we need to appreciate that. I wish our leaders were that concerned about solving our Canadian problems. Trump's not our enemy. He is ultimately our friend. He's trying to solve his problems. That's what he was elected for. And then when this blows over, and I'm convinced it will blow over, then we'll be back to our normal relationship. The last thing Canada needs is to now shift and build relationships with Europe, stronger ones, and with China, stronger ones, at the expense of the U.S.-Canada relationship. That would destroy this country. Our country needs the U.S., and eventually we will be back at a normal relationship. So now we need to weather the storm with grace, not with belligerence. We need to have understanding where they are. Let's deal with our issues. You know, maybe this is a great time for Canada to realize we've got to get rid of our interprovincial barriers. You know, it's a topic of concern at every election, and then it's promptly forgotten. Here we are, a country 150 years old, and we still can't trade with each other as provinces. Let's start acting like a mature country.
Something you touched on there is kind of the idea that a crisis can reveal some opportunities, and there are some positive takeaways that could emerge out of this.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But when we look at the leadership in the USA, President Donald Trump has introduced a number of tariffs. He did focus on Canada first. We have a global system.
Yes, for sure.
It just doesn't feel like something a friend would do.
It's very complicated, absolutely, yeah. As friends, you know, we've got a very porous border.
Note, our guest is about to make claims which contradict verified details concerning the amounts of fentanyl-related substances crossing the Canada-U.S. border. In 2020, U.S. Congress established a commission to look into ways to reduce the flow of drugs into the United States of America and found that, quote, Canada is not known to be a major source of fentanyl, other synthetic opioids, or precursor chemicals to the United States, a conclusion primarily drawn from seizure data. End quote. That was according to the U.S. Congress Commission's February 2022 report.
And there's a backstory to all of this. The U.S. is concerned about the porousness of that border. That might not directly terrorist, but it's a problem in the sense that we do know that China sends in the components for fentanyl unrestricted through our Vancouver port. Very, very few containers get checked. Those ingredients now have become a growth industry in Canada with fentanyl. It's a growth industry in BC. And this stuff has been going across this porous border for years, killing thousands of Americans as well as hundreds of Canadians as well. That's the backstory. They're concerned about this porous border. Canada needs to grow up and have a proper border and stop this kind of poison from going to our neighbor to the south. That they're concerned about our border, given this, the disaster of the fentanyl and how it's destroying young people left, right, and center, I think they have a legitimate beef against Canada. We need to grow up. This fentanyl is dangerous. Why is it a growth industry in BC? There needs to be some soul searching in Canada. What kind of a friend do we want to be for the U.S.? Ultimately, we will never survive if we don't become friends, don't stay friends with the U.S. But we need to grow up, become a mature country.
Would you agree that it's not necessarily that the shipments of fentanyl precursors aren't checked, but we don't have the capacity to check them properly and to be able to stop
right.
them?
Possibly, yeah. I'm sure it's very, very difficult. That's why I would say, you know, we need to watch our trade with China. And a lot of this stuff comes in from there. And, you know, we cannot move to the place where we are on best trading relationship with China. They're not behaving in our best interest. We see that with election interference and things like that, that there are rumors of.
But the same thing could be said about the United States within them not behaving in our best interests, okay. At least for now.
Right now, they're concerned about their own interests.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to give them credit for that. They want to take care of their problem. Because if the U.S. goes down, we go down too. It is in our best interest that they solve their economic problems. And it's in our best interest to move towards a friendly relationship with them.
Thanks for exploring that really complicated topic.
It is very complicated, but if you see the big picture, it's not that difficult. I'm a little bit concerned at how belligerent our leaders are, as if they're trying to develop brownie points, political points, by being the strongest opponent, most belligerent. That's not good. That's not good.
Mr. Weens acknowledges his chances of victory are unlikely, but for him, that's not really the goal.
The church needs to speak up. That's why I'm doing. My chance of winning are next to zero, but my goal, simply to speak truth to culture, or at least begin a conversation. Someone else's definition of truth may be different, but if we talk to each other politely, respectfully, we will work our way to closer truth. And that's my goal, that's my prayer.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.